Well, it's interesting to think about this 13 weeks we've had this talking about creation. And I think, as you were so very appropriately saying, I think it's all been coming to this last lesson. Restoration. What do we think about when we think about restoration? What comes to mind? Restoring it back to the original. Now, some people love taking old cars and restoring them. Anybody in here know anybody that does that or passionate about that? When I was married, Carol and I rode in, what year car was that, Randy?
1938
Buick Special. He had it and had bought it, and I don't know how much restoration you did to it, but you didn't do it. You bought it restored. And that's kind of an interesting thing. Sometimes we want it restored. Sometimes we like the process of restoring. But what is it about restoration that we like?
It makes it look, at least, and appear as though it's new.
It make it look and appear as if it's new. Okay? And it becomes part of our history, doesn't it? You know, old cars, when we see one restored, we start right back to where that were when that car. Come on in here. We have that experience of being right there in that moment of restoration, isn't it? What thing do you like to see restored? Is there any object in your life that you think about?
I think about, I don't get sick often, but if I get a cold, it's like once a year. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, after that, even though I appreciate my good health, I praise God even more.
Okay.
I've had a bad cold and I am restored from it. Oh, I feel like a new person.
You feel, and that's an interesting dynamic. We feel renewed when we've had this illness or cold or whatever, and our body heals, and we feel like, oh, all of a sudden it's wonderful to wake up and be able to breathe. It's wonderful to be able to eat and have our stomach settled. It's wonderful to have a sense of, I'm in health again. How about the rest of you? What kind of things do you think about with restoration? What comes to your mind?
Enough rain and everything to make things beautiful.
Okay, so rain kind of is a restoring thing. That's an interesting thing. You think about the rain and what it does to the earth and what it does to our planet. You know, that's one thing our legislators starting to decide. Well, we need to start taking money out to make sure we have enough water because we're running out of water in Texas, you know. Restoration. If you've ever been thirsty, water is some of the most thirst-quenching experience. Go ahead.
Restore like family relationships or ties that you have with family members. You might have some kind of little conflict or whatever, and you want to restore that. So I think about restoring family relationships.
That is a good analogy. It is an interesting dynamic. As a therapist, I had a woman call me and say, I want to know if you'd be willing to meet with me and your son, my son. We haven't spoken for 4 years. I said, sure, I'd love to meet with you. They both came in. And it's fascinating the dynamics of them trying to restore a relationship. The son has decided he doesn't want his mother's present boyfriend or husband to come into their house because of his criminal history. And so he, and then the mother's saying, I don't want to have to choose between my son and my husband. So there's a conflict. There's a discord. They're just disconnected. You know, and they start talking and all these little things came out. And the son's mad because why don't you just come over and have lunch with us occasionally? We're not talking about a celebration of holidays or we're not talking, just come over. And, well, I don't want to do that because it's like I'm choosing you over him. And you can see the conflict. And in the 50 minutes I was with him, it was a matter of how do you come to some resolution? And finally, the resolution I said is, well, maybe you need to get the other family members to get together and let's see what that is. Come on in. So when there's discord, restoration means coming back together in a relationship, isn't it? You know, I think about restoration, and I think we have an example of it with Jesus. You look at Jesus, how he related to Peter. What a powerful image of restoration there was. He knew what was happening to Peter. Peter didn't even know. We look at it in John. So when they had finished breakfast, John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. Do you love me more than these? He said to him again a second time. Do you like it when people ask you a question another time? Isn't it kind of irritating, Rodney? Like, why are you asking me again? I just answered that question. But Jesus asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, he said to him. Shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Each time he responds very affirmative, Peter. Now you think after the second time, that'd be enough. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken these things, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved, following them, the one who had also leaned back on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? So you see Jesus developing and creating restoration with Peter. The symbolism of asking three times because Peter denied Jesus three times. And the look of the Savior as he looked toward Peter, the same Savior eyes looked toward Peter as looked toward Judas. One went away and cried and said, I'm sorry. The other said, I'm unworthy, and killed himself. And here Jesus is bringing restoration in the relationship. You know, as a parent, as many of you I'm sure are very aware, what can your child do to stop your love for them? Nothing. Nothing they could do. So when you see someone that's talking to the people that their son has now killed, does that father still love the son?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
You're sure he does?
He's
nothing.
He's bad about the loss of life or whatever the issue is that the son or daughter has done. You do not stop loving the child.
And you know what? To me, that is such a simple kind of... It's a very watered-down thing of what our Heavenly Father thinks toward us.
Amen.
I mean, I've... My daughter, youngest daughter, who's got one more month of rotations left for her medical degree, is flew to Costa Rica this morning early, and she's going to be there for a month and doing some training and also learning Spanish. Well, you know, last night as she was getting things together and she was pulling out this box, and all this box, she comes all these things. Here was a letter I'd written to her when 5, 6, 7 years ago, when she was kind of in the throes of all kinds of chaos, in my opinion. And I said, let me see that letter. Didn't remember writing it, remember the experience, didn't remember the actual letter, and I read it. And I just kept thinking, there is nothing she could do that would separate my love from her. Now, she may not experience it. And I said, what's this? Or she said, well, those are the tears that I experienced as I read it. And I thought, wow, what a powerful experience. In that time of real disconnected, disjointed relationships I had with her and we had in our family with her, there is nothing that would have separated her from my love. Now, did she experience it? I don't know. Did I? But this is a recognition that there's nothing that could be done. And you know, that is one of the most frustrating experiences in life, when you have a relationship of caring and love and you do not know how to communicate it to another person. All of you have had that, haven't you? Your desire is to communicate it. Your desire is to have that restoration, that experience of being reunited, but at that point the person is not accessible to that. What happens to you when you're in that kind of experience? You hurt. Absolutely you hurt. It's a real intense longing for that restoration, isn't there? Absolutely. Oh, tremendously helpless. And you know what? As I look back and evaluate some of my own behavior during that time, I did some extreme things to try to do things. Shake her up. Get some, you know, get a reconnection. But would I do them again? Some I would, some I wouldn't. I think as I look back, I say, you know, some I think I did pretty good. The biggest challenge for me is there's a point I remember it, don't remember a specific time, but I remember all of a sudden Carol and I saying, we have to get out of the way. This is too much about us. This is too much about us right now. This has got to be about her. And this is both of my daughters. This has got to be about her.
Well, what about when the parent says, I wish I hadn't had you? Yeah. We have a relationship now with a woman who's having that experience, but that's what she would say.
Something's broken in her.
Right. And yet I know that she cares for her.
Yeah, I think that she cares. But I think sometimes, and you know, this is why the analogy is so limited, because God has such a different... I mean...
Has God ever said that?
I don't think He'd ever say that.
I think He has.
You think He has? You think He said, I wish I'd never done that?
Yeah. Wish I hadn't.
Wish I hadn't? You why?
Do you
why
remember do you... that? He said that about... About creating his... You don't remember that, yeah?
In the flood, there was times He said...
That He has said that. That He was sorry that He made you... Rebellious man.
Yeah, I think there was times in the flood, and then with Moses, he said, why don't I wipe these people out and I'll create some others. But I don't think there's ever been him totally absolving himself of humans. I think that And I think that's the challenge at times. When we're caught in our own experience, sometimes we think, I wish I had never done this. I wish this. But when you, to me, one of the most rewarding experiences as you work this through, you realize it's about your own development. I think in my own life at this point, I think the richness and the my own personal experience of development in this process is so far, it is so enriching to myself. It enriches your own life, but it's painful. Go ahead.
I'm sitting here comparing now and then. Mm-hmm. And I know we all want things to be perfect, you know. And I have patients all the time that want things to be fixed.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I have to be honest and say, you know, we can't fix everything. Mm-hmm. But we can work with what we have. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But we know, and when I compare that to later, we have this wonderful home. Things will all be fixed.
Absolutely.
And ultimately.
And that is the ultimate restoration. They will be fixed. That's the ultimate hope that each one of us have in our belief in Jesus Christ, in our belief in God and who created us. And I think that's a powerful thing to recognize. You know, you said is God according to God's will when you're talking about your cousin or your relative there. That's a powerful thing to know how to accept that. You know, you never want certain things to occur, but you always wonder, what would shake me from not accepting God's will? Well, I'm sure if one of my daughters were something happened to that one of them, I'd say, what is this about? And that's the human experience. You know, Job, he went through that. He went through, what's better, I wasn't born. You know, he went through that. Doesn't mean we don't question or challenge or have all the conflicts of the emotions. But ultimately, we do like Christ did. Not my will, but thy will be done. Because that is the restoration. So when we're talking about restoration, there's all kinds of restorative experiences that we've all had in life. And in that restoration, there's sometimes a lot of disconnect. You know, sometimes things have to get worse until they get better. And I hate that. Don't you hate that? Why does it have to do that way? Why does it have to be that there has to be that push-pull kind of thing? You know, children, the first time they say no. No. Well, what? What? You're saying no? But that's that first sense of, I'm going to develop myself here. This is about me. It's really fascinating. I work with foster kids, and one of the first things that happens, usually after they're adopted, they become some of the worst kids there were. Why?
Test the waters.
Test the waters? See what? See what they can get away with? It's freedom. I've been adopted. I'm free now. I can be all what I want to be. Oops, this isn't going to work so well. You mean this is how it's going to happen if I be free? I mean, it's a fascinating dynamic. And that's usually the older they are. That's one of the things. You think, oh, they'd feel so grateful. They'd be so excited. They're going to be such a responsive person. And this 14-year-old, he's just kind of gone nuts. I mean, you know, flipping the teacher off, taking something out of the teacher drawer and marking on stuff. I mean, he, and before that, the dad said to me, he's been such a wonderful kid. I said, I know. He's free. And now you have to help him understand. Go ahead. Don't you think that's true? Don't you think that's true? In our worst state, they want to know they're loved. And don't you think that's part of our behavior at times? But you know what? And that's the masterful work of the devil. Oh, Steve, you can't be loved by God. Look at this, Steve. Now, come on. Get real, Steve. You read the Bible. You know that this is, you've gone too far. You've done that in unpardonable sin. And that is the farthest from the truth. But the devil's masterful at making all of these adjustments to help us to kind of come to that conclusion. You know, Jesus came. Go ahead.
And I think also restoration, even though we love it because in the end a huge change can happen, but just like you said, we don't really like that change process.
No.
But during the process of change, you're going to be taken out of your comfort zone, first of all, and you're going to be faced with things that you never even imagined. I mean, you thought the worst, let's say a father, son, or mm-hmm. father, daughter mm-hmm. relationship. You know something was going to happen, but then when it happens, it's worse than you ever imagined.
That's true. It can be.
And then, just like you said, now you can look back at the letter that you wrote and you're thinking, you don't remember writing it, you remember the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably conjured up some of those feelings that were at the bottom, and then you think of where you are today.
Absolutely.
I think about when we get to heaven. I mean, I always think about the millennium, the mm-hmm. 1,000 years, when we'll get to ask all the questions, you know, have all of our answers from the Lord about the part that we didn't see, the behind the scenes look mm-hmm. through that restoration process. I just can't wait to understand the why.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of those why mm-hmm. questions. And so the restoration is such a process. But when it's over, I mean, even the restoration that we experience here.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I didn't think I could make it, but I did. On the other side of it.
That's true. That is really true. We don't think we can make it through at times. It feels as if we're just in a dark tunnel and there's no light. But then we see a glimmer. We see a little glimmer and we keep moving down that road, hope for that glimmer. I think that is true. In the process, we don't like it. In the process, there's uncomfortableness because it is out of a comfort zone. You know, and it says in Revelation, he will wipe away all our tears. So there's going to be tears still. He's going to wipe them away because there'll be that restoration process. You know, it's restoration is not a finished product. If you've ever known anybody that restored a car, they are always doing something to it. It's such a funny thing to see these cars have been restored on a trailer being driven somewhere. They don't want to use it. They want to make sure they just use it to drive it to the show or to drive it to here or drive it on certain occasions. But that's not the way it is with Jesus. He wants that restoration to be a vibrant, dynamic experience. And I think that restoration is what comes about when we realize, wow, I knew you loved me, but I didn't know how much you loved me. You know, that to me is the most powerful thing, and that's what Ernie and Rob in their seminars, it's such a powerful message. It's God loves us. Last night at the cantata here, one of the last songs was Jesus Loves Me. And you really recognize that powerful words, Jesus loves me. How many times does it seem like we felt unloved, unworthy? Or we thought, I'm okay, I'm worth loving. Either way, we're lost. But the recognition, Jesus loves me. This I know. It's a real powerful experience. And in that experience, don't you think there's restoration? It's going to be a wonderful transformation experience. I mean, it's happening as we speak. But then it's going to be accelerated. It's going to be more understood. What to you, when you read about heaven, gets you excited? You talked about the 1,000 years of asking why questions, having that opportunity to understand. How about the rest of you? What to you is the exciting part? What? No more sickness or death, okay? That sense of there's no more discord in our physical body, no more the dying process in our body. And how about the rest of you? What's no more disconnection? Absolutely. No more disconnection. How about the rest of you? What about that restorative experience in heaven that creates an excitement within you?
I think about restoration when I knew that my son was dying. Mm-hmm. And December, he knew he was not going to make it. And so he wrote out his message. And after he died, it was sent to us. And part of it was, I've made peace with God. Don't fret.
Mm-hmm.
That was restoration of his relationship with God and with the family.
And it helped you in your restoration, helped you in your experience, didn't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. How about the rest of you? What kind of things?
The learning process that we will have with the master teacher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the learning process. There'll be all kinds of amazing things. And don't you think that's for eternity? I mean, and that's the thing that to me is kind of exciting, because it's not just seeing the lamb and the leopard or lion walk together. That's going to be an amazing sight, but the reality is it's that learning process. Go ahead, you were going
to
say something.
You're going to be able to remember it. The brains will work well.
The brains will work well. The brains will work well. That will be able to remember. Go ahead.
Ironic thing that I think about, how when we go to class reunions or we go to things where old friends have come together, and the irony of it is, even at funerals you see people you've never seen before.
Absolutely.
And that's the downside of that. But the worst part of all that is, after you've met here on earth, you have to go your own separate ways. Well, in heaven, yeah, you don't, and there will be no inhibition. If I see somebody, oh, I've seen him before, there's no inhibition. When can I go talk to him? Go talk to that person or see that person and get that community. That whole social thing is just, that's the most
people.
And then we actually remember them.
I might know you by sight, but I don't necessarily always remember.
Sometimes in life, you know, we know we speak to God, and sometimes we wish He was right here to give us direction and then audibly.
Right.
And the joy of heaven is having Him right in front of you.
Right. No more. Yeah, that's true. It'll be a direct, one-on-one, connected experience. And that will be a powerful thing. That really will be.
And then just talking to Him all my life, be able to meet Him.
Absolutely. That's an interesting thing. Talking to Him all your life, you're going to meet Him and see Him face to face. How about the rest of you? Go ahead.
Another thing that I'm looking forward to is, you know, and read about all the descriptive things about having the golden streets.
You love that. You want to see those golden.
I want to see those 12 gates to the city with the big old pearl. Mm-hmm. I want to see this stuff. I mean, I want to touch it. You know, kiss the golden girl. I want to see perfection. Mm-hmm. I do. I want to see, you know, the Garden of Eden, how it originated. Mm-hmm. I want to see that. I don't like a lot of history, but I don't like Bible. Mm-hmm. I love the creation. Mm-hmm. I want to see that for myself.
Okay. Go ahead.
One of the people in the denomination spoke one time about God saying when He's going to redo this earth, Now watch and see how it happens.
Oh, interesting.
I think that would be such an exciting thing. See him speak our new earth into existence.
That would be one. Go ahead.
No more family and friend separation.
No more family and friend separation. That will be a joyful experience, won't it? That really will be. That's absolutely the truth. See, we each have a personal experience with the thought of restoration. We each have our own thing, you know, whether it's kissing the streets or having this experience, we have a personal experience with that. And I think that's the dynamic part of this process, is it is a personal thing. And you think about how God meets us where we are. And that's one of the beauty about community. We have diversity. I'm not that interested in kissing the golden streets. It's not that appealing to me. But for you, it's going to be, wow!
Yes, it is.
So that's the exciting thing. We all have uniqueness. And in that process, we all have that sense of restoration. And in restoring, usually things are better than they were original. You ever think about that in the relationships? Relationships with my daughter and the restoration, and they're developing and growing and becoming who they are and going through the struggles of developing themselves. The relationships are better than they were because we're working on an experience of reconnecting. There's a new development. You know, my youngest daughter recently found out she chose Brooklyn to do her 3-year residency. She had a list of 13 and she chose Dallas first and Brooklyn second. Well, Brooklyn chose her. So, you know, there's anticipation of her getting ready to go to Brooklyn for 3 years starting July 1st. And already I'm anticipating the disconnected experience. First it was like, it just hit me really hard. It's like, oh, wow. But you know, now as we're creating this experience of talking about it and we're planning, it's becoming, wow, I'm going to get an opportunity to go to Brooklyn for a couple times a year. And all the things we're going to do when we go see her. That's how we move beyond it. But initially, sometimes it's like, oh, this is going to be a really uncomfortable, disconnected experience. Why couldn't it have been Dallas? You know, but then who knows? Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking what you said about the brain, and you know, we'll be restored physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so what about aromatherapy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new earth, how our smells will be.
Oh, absolutely.
Our hearing.
Absolutely. It's so mind-boggling to think about because we're so used to certain aspects of who we are, it's hard to even go beyond it. I read something that if we think we've got it figured out, we're farther than God than we've ever been. Because we want to put him in our own present reality. Doesn't mean we don't know things about God, but we just to think we have it figured out puts us in a very almost uncomfortable place. In the lesson, there were a couple things that I thought were really worth reading. In Isaiah chapter 65, starting at verse 17, Isaiah is talking to the people and writing, trying to encourage. And here is what he said, "For behold, I create new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Wow, that's an interesting idea. Sometimes maybe we don't need to remember everything. "And be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and for her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem, be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying." Talked about that. "No longer will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the ones who does not reach the age of 100 shall he be thought accused. And they shall rebuild their houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruits. They shall not build another inhabitant. They shall not plant and another eat. For as a lifetime of trees, so shall be the days of my people. And my chosen ones shall wear out the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. And it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall do no evil or harm in all of my mountains, says the Lord. There we get some of the physical images. What you get is there's not going to be any distress. There's not going to be the food chain. There's not going to be this. And then in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. You know, the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord. You know, that restoration experience is, we do have knowledge. Restoration is really complete when there's understanding. If you've had a broken relationship, when you create understanding and you work that through that understanding, then there's fully restored relationship. The challenge is to develop and move beyond that momentary experience of what happened. You know, when there's a disconnected relationship, there's tendency to all of a sudden come up with certain conclusions. We have to challenge those conclusions if we're going to have a new restored relationship. And then we come up with new conclusions. Sometimes we come to those conclusions, and that's what keeps us in a lockdown position with the other person. You know, this man and his mother who I met with, their conclusions. If she loved me and my kids, she would have come over even though and seen the kids. If my son loved me, he would accept my husband. Wow. What conclusions, what criterias we put. And each feel very justified in their experience. That's the interesting thing. When we're in a disconnected relationship, we feel very justified in what we're doing. But yet the truth is, our conclusions are what's keeping us from having restoration. Don't you? We've talked about it several times in here. What Jesus did with Judas for 3.5 years. He worked very hard with Judas. Jesus worked very hard with the Pharisees. He continued to look for ways to help them to come to some different conclusions. But what was the conclusion Judas came to? It's hopeless. I'm hopeless. There is no other option but to kill myself. What conclusion did Peter come to? My God, I have done a terrible thing. I betrayed my master. How could I have done this? And he wept and he struggled and he went through that restoration experience. And then Jesus said to him, do you love me? Don't you think it must have been rewarding to answer that? But by the third time, it indicates there was some distress in that. But don't you think Peter later on, when he was experiencing the things that happened to him in life, remember that experience? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember the master asked me, I do love him. So this is nothing. What's happening to me is nothing because I remember the master's love. That's one of the most challenging things I have as a father, is sometimes I want to be there to make sure they know I love them. And that is a hard thing because you have to realize they've got everything they need right now. And they can handle it. But there's a sense of, well, I think if I was there, I could make it a little easier. Yes, but maybe I could. But they wouldn't be them developing themselves. And I do believe, both my daughters believe I love them. And that's such a powerful experience to recognize. When I thought of my daughter being in Brooklyn and I thought of all that dynamic reality, I thought, you know what? This is going to be her experience of developing herself, and I'm going to be there when I can enjoy her. Amen. And that's a wonderful way to shift the focus to, I've got to make sure she's okay, to, I'm going to be there to enjoy her. Now, personally, I love talking about, okay, how are we going to make it work? When are we going to get you there? What do we need to take? Where are you going to get an apartment? I love that stuff. It's fun. Because that's the way I feel like I can get involved and be a part of the experience there. To me, it's like, oh, and then I've done it with my older daughter. Then when we have that moment when I leave after that, I feel a tremendous sadness, but I also feel a great relief. Wow, she's set up. She's here. She's got what she needs. It's funny, I thought the other day, I don't know why I thought I wanted children so much, but because because I remember as a kid, we didn't see my grandparents a lot, but every time we left, I would bawl like a baby. I'm thinking, we didn't see them but once a year, and it's not like they were real involved in our life, and you know, we'd always go to them. But I would just cry, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. And then I thought, wow, shouldn't I have gotten a clue early on? Maybe that this is going to be different. But you know what? It's the developing experience. I like what's happening to me in that process. And I think when we look at the restoration, don't you imagine what it's like when that moment when Jesus says, we're going down. I am coming now. What is the heavenly host going to be doing? Oh, yes, it's time. You know? What's that going to be like for every angel, every being to be like? It's time. And you know what? That's the hope. That's the restoration. Jesus is coming again. He does love us. And I think the more I live, the longer I live, the more I think that's just a powerful belief that just sustains me in that. It doesn't take me out of this world. It helps me to be in it better. It helps me to be more free in it because I realize this isn't the end. This is just a process. And I look forward to that restoration. I look forward to that time when we're going to be in new bodies, in a new earth, where we can say, this is my God. I'm so grateful to be here. Go ahead.
I just want to read this easy white note of this. They that go down to the grave are in silence. They know no more of anything that is done under the sun. Job 14:21. Blessed rest for the weary righteous. Time, be it long or short, is but a moment to them. They sleep. They are awakened by the trump of God to a glorious immortality. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. You know, and that thought process, to me, the thought is, who do I want to see first? You know, who do I want to reconnect with? What an exciting thought process. Going home with our loved ones. With our loved ones, going home. There will be no separation.
That had gone on before.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stories, but
absolutely. So it's an exciting thing to me to think about restoration. I think it's occurring in our lives in a small bit, in a small way today, but it's even be more grander than we can even imagine in that day. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful that you sent your Son Jesus, that you revealed the character of your love for each one of us. We're so thankful on this Easter weekend that we celebrate that we can have that recognition. May that love each day become more clear to us so that we can then experience the freedom that you desire. The freedom to recognize that you are the master, that you are the God of this world. Thank you for this Sabbath day, and that may each one of us experience recreation. In Jesus' name, amen.